You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you. I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Don't stand away, don't be distracted, enter in, enter in. Surrender to the Spirit, enter in, surrender. Surrender to the Spirit. It's time to enter in. Encounter the Lord. Experience the Spirit. The love of the Father is waiting for you. Enter in. Encounter Jesus, experience the Spirit, the love of the Father is for you, not against you. Enter in, enter in. This is my desire, Lord, to honor you. Lord, with all of my heart, I worship you. it's in you, oh Lord. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Here for you, Jesus. Let us put the day behind us and enter in. So many crazy things happen today. Put them away. He was with you all day long. He was with you in spirit and song. Whether you realize he was there with you inside your heart, inside your life, let's worship him now. Let's enter in. Whatever happened today in the wind, let it blow away. Let's enter into the Father's love tonight. Let's enter into experience the Spirit. Encounter Jesus, Lord, tonight. He's waiting for you to draw in, for you to give him your heart. As you just sang out, let it be true. Let it be real. Give him your heart. As you sang out, Father, we thank you, Jesus, you're here. You're inside of us. You're outside of us. You surround us with your love. And you're inspiring us to go forth. Lord, they were expecting you to come as a king, royalty. All they had ever experienced in royalty was a king in robes and crowns and thrones and palaces and authority, and speaking harshly to the people, sometimes enslaving them. But they wanted you to come as royalty, and you sneaked in, royalty inside of a baby. No throne, no crown, no palace. Quietly, you entered at the darkest point of history
true royalty, but wrapped in such humility, such weakness. At your weakest, as a baby being cared for by human parents, as well as your Father in heaven, you were more powerful than anyone on earth who had ever lived, prophet, priest, king, and anyone who would ever live beyond that time. That's us. Royalty, majesty, wrapped in a baby, with an intention to die so young for us. You waited 33 plus years to die for us. You thought about that when you were with the woman at the well, wanting her to receive the benefit of that. You thought about dying for us when you were with Nicodemus, telling him he must be born again. You thought of that coming day when you would be beaten, bruised, and bleeding for us, when you called down Zach. What's his name? The short guy. Zacchaeus. I can't get Zachariah out of my head. I should know him. He's one of my heroes. Zacchaeus, when you call him out of the tree, I'm going to have dinner, lunch, a meal with you, and it will change your life. I'm coming to your house today. That's what he said when we became born again. I'm coming in today. We're going to have a banquet inside of you today. Holy Spirit will stay after the banquet for the rest of your life. We're going to party inside of you and forgive your sins. We're going to bring you to the banqueting table that's just a taste of what's going to happen in your future home when I invite you into my home. But I'm coming to your home today. Zacchaeus was so overcome, he started throwing money into the crowd. We want to be overcome, Lord. The busyness, the craziness of life, this season on the earth, crazy. We want to draw in. We want to draw in. We want to see every person here online, anyone that would see this in the future. We want you to be there. But you have to have the revelation that Jesus is no longer a baby. Jesus is no longer on the cross. Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Jesus is no longer physically on the earth. But he's in heaven in all glory. 700 plus names in the Bible, but unlimited names in glory. The name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. They're glorifying you in heaven. And what are you doing? Jesus, what are you doing? You're praying for us tonight. We want to answer that prayer because you're calling us to another room in your house. A room of intimacy, a room of closeness, a room of, let me speak to you, things you've never heard before. Let me speak life into you. Let me speak peace into you, Jesus says. Let me pray it into you, and when I pray, my prayers are answered. If you're willing to receive my prayer tonight, to draw into me and receive everything I have to give to you, we can get this done. Come to the table. Come to the table. I want to see you there. I want to be with you. Do you want to be with me? I'm praying for you right now. Draw in. Draw in. I want to see you there. Living in the rooms of mansion, worshiping at the Savior's feet, kneeling before the mercy seat, singing songs of the Lamb that was slain. I want to see you there. Along with the saints of glory, walking the streets of purity, crying no tears, now so joyfully, wrapping yourself in the arms of your presence of Jesus.
resting in the arms of Jesus.
May we enter into the foyer, the place, the room that you're in tonight, Lord, that we can connect with you. Time will disappear. The background will disappear. It will only be your face. Only be your face. I want to see you there. Living in the rooms of mansion, worshiping at the Savior's feet, kneeling
resting in the arms of Jesus. I want to see you there. I want to see you there. Tonight, tonight,
one of the biggest revelations that was brought to me by others and the Holy Spirit. We don't have to wait to the end of our life to experience what's going on in the throne room. We don't have to wait for us to enter the pearly gates, for us to experience the presence of God in fullness. The songwriters here, every song that they write, they have an encounter that goes with it. We don't write little ditties to become famous or popular. We have encounters. I sing this song often at funerals. I sang it for my mother's funeral. I wanted to sing it for my father's funeral. I wanted a song for his funeral, but this one wasn't written yet. Family members didn't really want me to tell through a song anyway what had happened to my father. It was too much for them to think of him bowing before God in weakness. They wanted him portrayed at the funeral as a strong man. And they had stories within the small town about my father being the strong man. Wish I would have been able to sing this song at his funeral. But I now know he's singing songs far beyond this one. Far beyond that day of funeral. Because he truly encountered the Lord. I was able to preach the gospel to him at the moment led by Holy Spirit. One of the privileges of my life, resisting Holy Spirit in weakness, knowing my father never really attended church, knowing that about as close as he could get to me in spiritual things was to tell me that Billy Graham was on the TV. And he's on the TV, but I'll go eat something in the kitchen while you watch him. But there was that moment when I could invite him into a relationship with the Jesus that I knew. But I resisted God. Said, this can't be the time. He just found out that he has lung cancer today. This can't be the moment. This can't be the time. And it was as if God said to me, watch this. All the activity that had been happening in the room, ceased. All the nurses stopped coming in. The family I was with, they went out to have coffee. One of the treats of my life. And they didn't ask me to go. They just left the room. And the Lord said, now is the time. And as I asked my father if he had thought about Jesus in all of this, it may have been a question he wasn't expecting. But he immediately covered his eyes and started to tear up. And the Lord told me, I told you it was the time. And as I shared the truth of Jesus with him, he got rid of all the lies. I thought I took care of it. I walked into a church once when I was a kid. No, you need to know Jesus. He's the only one that can die for your sin. He's the only one that can pay for anything you've ever done against God or man. He resurrected so you could come into new life. You can give your life to him, Dad. I saw my father cry for the first time in my life. My father told me he loved me for the first time that I could remember. And he prayed for the first time I had ever heard anything like a prayer or anything said about God. He prayed out to receive Jesus. And then the next year that he lived, I was 500 miles away, but I would travel up. And he always wanted me to read scripture over him. And he told me and the other family members, I love you. He was in and out of the hospital. But they knew something had happened. My father expressing love. Oh, he worked very hard. He did things to show love, but he didn't say things to show love. Jesus had come in and stirred up a lost part in his heart, just like he does with us, that we can express his love to other people. It's so much better than our love. So the picture I have of my father in strength is when he bowed his life to Jesus, when he cried, when he prayed, when he told me he loved me. So the family member that led the charge prevent me from sharing at the funeral. And I asked counsel about that from a pastor that had been their pastor in the area, never really getting them to come to church, but always going after their hearts. He said, God has a bigger plan than you sharing at this funeral. You watch. And sure enough, the one that led the charge, my sister, years later, gave her life to Jesus and prayed out, and then a number of years after that, rededicated her life. On the day that she ended up dying in the middle of the night, I want to see you there. And not just at the end of your life. I want to see you there tonight. in the throne room worshiping Him, lifting Him up in the midst of your crazy day, stopping, being still and knowing that He is God. Giving Him the worship He deserves. I would have missed that moment with my father. I would have missed the moment with my mom. Again in a hospital, sharing with her the beautiful gospel of Jesus as she gripped my hand in fear of death. But as she received Jesus, I could feel the peace come into her hand that was connected to her heart, touched by Jesus, prayed out again. Never heard my mom pray. She would sing with me the old spiritual songs. Somebody said that John was a Baptist. Others said that he was a Jew. But the Holy Bible plainly tells us, and other songs, but I'd never heard her pray until the night she prayed. As the light came through the window, because she had a bed next to the window of the room, and for some reason they turned out the lights and only the light from the hallway was coming through the room, but it created an atmosphere. We went into the throne room together, I know it, and Jesus touched her heart to pray out and receive Him. He wants to encounter us, I'm telling you, in deeper and deeper ways, but we have to be still long enough to hear His voice of, come on in, I'm drawing you in, this is the place where we can fellowship. Then He'll sing a song over you. Can you hear the song? As you draw in, He's singing. Do you know God sings? We're made in His image. He sings. Can you imagine when He sings in however many part harmony? He can sing all the parts. And beyond the parts of earth. Wow! What does that sound like? Can you hear the song? It's your Father singing, rejoicing over you, dancing over you. It's your Father's song. Can you hear the song? It's your Father's singing, rejoicing over you. He's dancing over you. It's your Father's song. He is singing from the throne. Imparting peace to you with love. Angels join Him on the chorus now, celebrating your life from above. Can you hear the song? It's your Father singing, rejoicing over you, dancing over you. It's your Father's song. Can you hear the song? It's your Father's singing, rejoicing over you. He's dancing over you. It's your Father's song.
Listen to your father.
the song of the Father. He's singing loud and clear. Receive the song of the Father. Oh, receive the song of the Father. Yeah, he's singing so loud and clear. Receive the song of the Father. Receive the song of the Father. He's singing, drawing you near. Receive the song of the Father. Receive the song of the Father. He's singing so loud and clear.
He's singing life and joy and peace. He's singing life.
He's dancing in the throne room. Does God dance? Yes, because we dance. We're made in His image. We are His sons and daughters. Open up your spiritual ears. Open up your spiritual eyes. The Father is here tonight speaking to your heart. Draw in the table of Jesus. Draw into the table of Jesus. Jesus is here at the banquet table.
Spring up like a fountain. Have you capped your well? Go let it be. He's singing life and joy and peace. He's singing life and joy and peace. He's singing life,
hope,
and joy.
It's okay to let your feet move a little bit, or sway back and forth. Movement invites the Spirit, I'm telling you. Dance a little bit more than you've ever danced. Sway a little more than you've ever swayed. Come on, look ridiculous, it's for Jesus. On this day,
he's singing life and joy and peace. He's singing life and joy.
Jesus. Open up your heart to Jesus. He's here to speak to you, to invite you in. Open up your heart to Holy Spirit. Open up your heart to Holy Spirit. He'll tell you about what Jesus has told him. Open up to your Father. Open up to your Father. He's not harsh. He's loving. He'll invite you in. They're singing life and joy and peace.
The Trinity is singing
life and joy and peace.
Over your life, it's powerful.
Life and joy
and peace. Listen, God can get more done through giving you all of his love than condemning you, than judging you.
Love, love can change everything in your life.
He knows it, so he had Jesus die and raise from the dead so you could be free. Life and joy and peace. He's singing life and joy and peace. He's singing life, joy and peace. He's singing life and joy and peace. He's singing life and joy and peace. He's singing life, joy,
peace. He's singing life and joy and peace. He's singing life and joy and peace.
He's singing life, joy, and peace. Receive the peace, receive the joy. Spell joy, Jesus on you. J-O-Y, Jesus on you. Receive the love of the Father, love of the Father, love of the Father. Yes, Lord.
I came tonight not thinking I was ready to lead worship for you. And I was reminded, you're not ready. You're never ready. But I can make you ready. I can pour into you. You can take people with you to the throne room, even though the beginning of this worship time you feel about as close to the throne room as Asia is to Ohio. I can draw you in. I can take you there. And you can take others with you. Step forth into worship. How many times does that happen? Total weakness turned into strength by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we see someone come in here loaded down with regret, loaded down with the burdens of life, we already know one step
towards the throne room, one step towards the presence of Jesus, one step towards authentic worshiping of Him, and freedom comes. Weakness is turned into strength. So why would we ever look down on anyone that is burdened, that is trapped, that has addictions? One step forward into Jesus. One step into the revelation of the Holy Spirit. One step into the love of the Father, and they're transformed. We're all transformed. It's not because we're so good. It's not because we're so faithful. None of it. He's the one good and faithful. And the more we celebrate that and think less about our own flops, failures, flounders, failings, the more the joy comes. The more the joy comes. It's good for you to say amen to that. I mean, a hearty amen. See, you're helping. You're helping the process here. There's a table you've prepared for me. Thank you, God. In the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you've shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for all you've done. And I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for all you've done. My battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. This is how. In the valley, I know you're with me. Surely your goodness and your mercy follow me. Yes, Lord. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. Oh, this is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Come on!
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Oh!
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how.
Oh,
this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how. There's a table you prepared for me. In the presence of my enemies, it's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Take a look.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
With your spiritual eyes.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but
in the valley, I know you're with me. Surely your goodness and your mercy follow me. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. Oh, this is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how.
If you're here tonight and you're fighting the battle of your life, You need a partner. You need the real warrior, Jesus Christ. Oh, you know the name, but you need to know him deep in intimacy, in the throne room of your life. Makes all the difference. He has 700 names and titles to activate, to empower you to win. To empower you to win. You may have struggles with doubt. No one knows. No one knows. You may have struggles with, am I supposed to be where I'm at right now? You may have struggles with leadership. You may have struggles with fellow believers. These are just as real as battles against the enemy. And he's the only one that can help you win. But you have to fight his way. Let negativity go. Let offense and bitterness go. Let fear go. Let control go. Because that's how you fight your battles with Jesus in your life. He has a strategy. He has a strategy empowering your life. Enter in. Come before him and repent. Good start. Then you'll see with new eyes. Seen with new eyes of Jesus, eyes of Jesus. Our eyes are so limited, so foggy, so fuzzy. But his eyes are pure and his eyes are bright, and he can help us see our way through the darkest night. That's our Jesus, powerful Jesus, mighty Jesus. Is not just a child anymore. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the one we need to depend on when we're weak, which is all of the time. Oh Lord, come. Time I need you. Am I foolish to think my own thoughts are right without your thoughts in my mind? This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you and you're inside me. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, you're inside me. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I find my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. You don't have to wait until you get home. You can repent right now. It's a good time. You're in the atmosphere of heaven right now. Repent. It's refreshing. It's not condemning. Repent. It's not a dirty word. It's wonderful. It connects you to his heart.
This is how we battle, how we battle in weakness. In weakness, he can make you strong, a strong, strong warrior. When you feel like a wimp, this is how we fight our battles with him. This is how we fight our battles with him.
Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. Speak to each heart, Lord. Start with mine. I volunteer, God. Bring your wrecking ball in by my invitation. Tear down any of my own little kingdom and build yours on the ashes. I bend my knee to you. I will not rely on my own thinking. I need you. I need your thinking. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts, your ways than my ways. Empower me, God. I really am a kid. I'm so weak. But Jesus, I love it that you can make me so powerfully strong and want to when I'm giving you the glory for it. I'm giving you the praise for it. I'm giving you thanksgiving and worship for that. So I can build your kingdom, not just be stronger or overcome things. I can build that wall for you. Along with others, to have the same revelation from your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We continue to worship you in your mighty name. Amen.
Desk with a stack of papers, and I just see the papers just like boom, pushed to the side. So I don't work in an office, so if that's for anybody, if they feel overwhelmed with office work of any sort, I just believe the Lord is saying rest and receive my peace. So Lord, I thank you for that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord, I just thank you for giving wisdom and for giving perseverance and whatever is needed, Lord, that you would lift the heaviness of whoever that is for, Lord, that you would lift that tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you will bring heavenly empowerment. In Jesus' name.
I just want to share one verse here. I have a whole passage, but I want to share one verse and transition into communion. Lawrence is going to lead us in communion. Troy, could I have that up here, please? Okay. You'll have to help them back there, ladies. And so the verse is chapter 11, verse 12 in Matthew. It reads, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force. And that's a very familiar passage to us. And I want to read it in the Passion Translation. That was NASB, but in the Passion Translation, it reads this way. Very interesting. It says, from the moment John stepped onto the scene until now, the realm of heaven's kingdom is bursting forth, and passionate people have taken hold of its power. We can sense and we can feel and we can experience the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ right now, which always, always releases power. That whole passage of scripture We'll speak about it another time, but it's about John the Baptist being lifted up by Jesus, bringing everyone who knew him and him into remembrance of the great and mighty power that it takes from heaven coming into a person to be able to prepare us for the soon and returning King. So at that time, John the Baptist was the most powerful and most humble, and there was no one greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came when there was a switch in kingdoms, a switch in what God was doing. So here we have our Lord Jesus saying, this is what it means. This is how I fight my battle. But everything that we've been singing out tonight has been releasing the power of our God. On Sunday, we had a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God in this place. There was so much fire that was being released. And still, the Lord is saying, continue to seek me this way. And Lawrence is going to bring us into the throne room in a deeper way as we experience communion together, knowing that his fire looks like something. John the Baptist was a forerunner. John the Baptist is also lauded as being one who would come in the spirit and power of Elijah as a forerunner, making the way straight, making the path straight for Jesus. I just sense tonight that the Lord is wanting to unpack for us what heaven is like. It's not just, I want to call heaven down, whatever that looks like, and it better look like something on earth, and not have an understanding of what we're even saying in the Lord's Prayer. So whenever Jesus shows up, when he walks in the room, there is power. And it brings us to our knees. It brings us into that place of great humility and joy that we can see is the wind of the Spirit and feel it just come and blow our plans away off the desk, knowing that he's the greatest strategist there is. And every battle that we face, every idea that we have, will be laced with, as it's from heaven, will be laced with the power of the King, the power of Holy Spirit. His power is resident in us, and he's saying, let me out. Let me be released. And anything that doesn't match up with the true, pure, holy power of heaven is going to be washed and swept away by the power of his love, which is what he's doing tonight. That gushing water of his presence is being brought into this place, into our hearts, into this family here, but also online. For whoever's watching, can sense the holiness of God. You can feel his connecting heart with us tonight. Oh, beloved, this is so beautiful. And where we are right now with things in the Spirit are so great, so great. Even John the Baptist was questioning things back when his life was on the line. And Jesus saw the good and pulled the good out and said, no, this is who you are. Don't forget. Don't forget when my power comes, I'm there. Came to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received. Now freely give as we bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ through communion tonight. Communion with the Lord will cause a great explosion in our hearts of power. Powerful love that will look like something. Will look like something different. So much more I can say, but I want to pass it over to Lawrence to see what God wants to do now to take us into that sweet place of holy awe of Jesus. Because the Lord's taking us from glory to glory to glory.
Amen. I'm going to have to remember to take the microphone before Pastor Mary Pat grabs it. She says she wants to go deeper than Sunday, and I'm still processing what happened on Sunday. Exodus 33. I'm going to read a little bit from here. And this is the account of Moses interacting with God on top of the mountain. Starting in verse 12, it says, "One day Moses said to the Lord, 'You've been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You've told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people.' The Lord replied, 'I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you.' Then Moses said, 'If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth.' The Lord replied to Moses, 'I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you and I know you by name.' Moses responded, 'Then show me your glorious presence.' The Lord replied, 'I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live.' The Lord continued, 'Look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, for my face will not be seen.'" There's a lot, and I know many of you guys are familiar with this passage, and this is a very full passage, and I was dwelling on this a little bit recently, and we see these glimpses of who God is in the Old Testament. And this interaction with Moses, there's this relationship that Moses has with God that understands that he doesn't want to go anywhere without the presence of the Lord. And so if you look at Moses, he came up in Pharaoh's house. So he came up with all these riches, all of this food, everything that he could possibly want that the earth could offer. And he recognized that he does not want to leave the presence of the Lord. And so he tells the Lord, he says, "I'm not going anywhere without your presence." And the Lord promises that he will be with him always. And then he says, "Then show me your glory." And what's the Lord's response? And I want to read part of that again. Moses says, "For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." That there is something distinguishable about a believer. There's something distinguishable that the whole earth can see about being in relationship with the Lord. And so Moses says, "Then show me your glory." We have songs that we know about this. We read this passage. We know Moses says, "God, show me your glory." And what's God's response? He says, "I will show you my glory, and I will." What does he say? He says, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you." But then he says, "Stand near the rock. I'm going to hide you in the crevice of the rock." He says, "I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by you. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind. But my face you will not see." Because if you see the presence of the Lord, it is so holy that it would kill you. And as we enter this time of communion, communion is all about remembering. You know, Jesus challenged his disciples. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So what is it that we're remembering? We're remembering the life that Jesus lived on earth. We're remembering the sacrifice that he made at the cross. We're remembering that he rose from the dead. We're remembering that he gave us the Holy Spirit. the very presence that Moses is talking to, that says, I will say my name, but you can't see me because it will kill you, is that holy. It's the exact same presence that now lives inside of us. And so there is something distinguishable. Moses understood this under an old covenant that said, there is... Sorry, I'm blanking out again. I'll read it again. He says, for your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. Moses, under an old covenant, recognized that the presence of the Lord marked us. And so how much more the presence of God, that very same presence that Moses wasn't even able to look at directly, he wasn't even able to look at in the face, lives now, active inside of us. That presence is what marks our lives, and that we are to be distinguished, set apart from all other people on the earth. So if you are here on Sunday, and I'm sure I'm not alone. I am working with some stuff that the Lord highlighted to me on Sunday that I'm excited to begin kind of processing a little bit. But you saw something different if you were here on Sunday or if you were watching on camera. You experienced something different. You don't walk into Walmart or Target or pick your place and experience something like that. But when you're in the presence of the Lord, something different happens. And that's the very holiness that we carry inside of us. And so the Lord's inviting us tonight as we partake in the bread and the cup. He's inviting us to remember what he did. And it wasn't just the moment he went to the cross. It's everything that led up to it and everything that's come after it. That it's not a single solitary moment, because God is outside of time. So when he tells us to remember, we're not remembering a single moment that happened 2,000 years ago. We are remembering everything that has led up to that moment and everything that has happened beyond. Because when we are able to remember who he is, it marks who we are. And so, Lord, everything that you're doing inside of us, everything that you are, Lord, the one that was so holy, that Moses, the one who spent time in your presence, wasn't even able to look at your face, now lives inside of us, so that we can be marked, so that we can be a demonstration to the world of something so far beyond anything that we can think or imagine. And we just simply have to steward what's already there. And so, Lord, as we take communion tonight, Father, that we would remember. We would remember how you split the Red Sea and you brought the Israelites into safety. We would remember how you carried them with Joshua through the Promised Land so that they would see miracles. We would remember the life that David lived. We would remember the life that led up to Jesus coming to walk the earth We would remember the moment that he was crucified for our sins. We would remember the moment that he rose victoriously from the grave, conquering those sins. We would remember the moment the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts 2. We would remember the moment the disciples took that commission and saw the church spread through Acts. We would remember the moment where John was given the revelation of heaven. We would remember every moment that brought us to this place now. And we would walk out our destinies, Lord, that as we remember, we would faithfully and boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel. Lord, it's not just a single moment. It's our entire lives. And so as we step into that tonight, Father God, I pray for a new level of grace, a new level of thanksgiving, a new perspective that gives us an even greater gratitude for who you are. And Lord, when those opportunities are presented to us to repent, we recognize that it's so that we can fully grasp onto the things that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, for everything that led us up to this moment.
Lord, we thank you that you defined the difference that we experienced on Sunday. Your definition is the only one that matters. So we thank you, Father, that you're showing us that you are serious in this hour. You are so serious, Lord. And that we're able to put you in remembrance of your word. You don't forget, but that is for us to depend on you so that you will continue to be high and lifted up completely. That we're overwhelmed by your beauty as we gaze into your lovely eyes. I just really sense that the Lord is opening up the spiritual realm in new ways for many people all around the world. It's not new to the Lord. But obviously, when we ask the Lord, when we cry out in his presence for the increase, to be able to understand the increase for the discerning of the spirits of the unseen world, that what is on this side of the veil, so to speak, it becomes our natural, our norm, that something different will take place for us when we're focused on His face, so that we'll be able to have a greater connection with the angelic world, as well as the dark side, in the sense that we can understand what God's doing. We discern the times. We discern what's happening. We discern what's going on because of our great love that Jesus has given us. I love this awesome communion, to be able to be privileged to stay in God's presence this way. You know, when we're thinking about going forward, what's our next step, Lord? The Lord reminds us, freely you've received from me, now freely give. So when He sent out His disciples, He just told them, as you go, preach the gospel of the kingdom that we're hearing about. Preach the very one who is carrying, who carried everything already for us to the cross, to the grave, and is alive today. Preach with your lives, preach with your eyes, preach with your mouth, preach, but always something forward motion, something that is tangible in the spirit realm. So the spirit realm, it becomes so normal to us. Okay? Oh. I believe that's what the Lord was saying to those who were questioning on behalf of John the Baptist what was going on when he was in prison, about to lose his head. Jesus was saying, let me paint a picture for you. And that's while Jesus was still here. Well, tonight, we've had a picture painted for us in such a beautiful way of our great and mighty Jesus. On this side, under the new and better covenant, unbelievable. So the Lord is raising up this holy, holy standard, that holiness within that Lawrence was talking about, that righteousness within that belongs to us because of the righteous one. That's crazy. It's so interesting. On Sunday when I was up here, I was so burning up. My body was on fire. My heart was ablaze. My face was red hot. At least it felt like it. And I said, Holy One, I know you're here. You're doing something. What should I do? And He spoke to me about what I should do. And He's speaking to us about what we should do. What's the next step? What do we do? Lord, we just continue to just get lost in your presence. Get lost, but stay focused on what you want to release. You don't want a one-time, wow, that was kind of weird and crazy. No, you want a bursting forward, a bubbling up on the inside. You want that fire that was tangible, that was seen in the spirit and was felt and experienced and encountered, the very presence of our Holy One that we just had communion with just now. Was here and is still here tonight. I want to read something before we transition here. You know, there would be some that might say, oh, I'm so focused on Jesus, don't say anything about what's going on in the country, that'll ruin it. No, it's just the other way. You know, the Lord wants us to be able to understand what He's saying and doing right now, so we're encouraged and strengthened, and we know how to respond in the Spirit. So when Jesus was paying a tribute to John, even in the midst of John's questions in Matthew chapter 11, we have to remember that the Lord was commissioning, right before that, commissioned His disciples for service. It's like, wow, God, you're just so smart. You know what you're doing. We're hearing a testimony of Pastor Bill with his father, his mother, his sister, and how he was feeling before he came tonight, and what the Lord has taken us through with the anointing resting and moving through him. And it's like, Lord, I want to put this together. I don't want to live in the middle of a puzzle and not know what you're doing at all, because I want to be involved in the signs of the times, understanding them. So before, just to throw this out here to consider, because I believe God is here in power and authority. But when he was releasing in chapter 10 of Matthew his disciples for service, he said, he says in verse 5, he says, the 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them these words. These are Jesus' words. Now think about it, because the go is still for us right now. That means go. Go out, but go forward. Go forward. Move forward. Move forward, which means go deeper. Move forward with what I tell you to do. So fun. Do not go in the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach. So we have to go. We have to go forward. Each one of us, we can go. Even in here, we can look at the one next to us, and that's going. We're praying for someone, that's going. But it's also involving a movement to physically go. Spiritually go, but to go, to not be stagnant, to move, to release, to go forward, to not be preoccupied with other things that seem to be more important, that we know how to stop a distraction. We actually stop a distraction and say, no, I'm going inside. No, the Lord will mess with us until we get that, until we'll recognize the distraction. And then stop it and go. But as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you've received, now freely give. And it goes on to say that whoever does not receive you nor heed your words, as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Oh my. But behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave his master. It's enough for the disciple that he becomes like his teacher and the slave like his master. If they called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign the members of his household? Don't fear them. It says there's nothing concealed that will not be revealed. Nothing is that's hidden will not be known. I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Wow. Don't fear. You're more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, father, mother, brother, sister, everyone, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who's in heaven. Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, meaning the way we think, but a sword. Oh my. And then moving down to familiar tough verses. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. That's verse 38 and 39. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. It's very interesting. So tonight, just feel led to read those, because when you read these words and then you think about what's going on in our country, it's like, what do we do? What do we say? How do we pray? How do we live? How do we not partner with iniquity when you're so strong and clear? I'm not going to go through a handout. I'm going to highlight a few things, and Troy can pass that out later, not right now, if you would. But I just want to tell you that there is something that God wants us to be aware of in our own midst. If he wants us to be innocent as dove but shrewd as serpents, he gives us what it is we can do as he fights our battles. But yet, we have discerning of spirits, and we know what we're fighting. We don't want to see our families torn down. We don't want to see our constitution destroyed. We don't want to see all the things that we've stood for because they're righteous in nature. They're holy in nature because Jesus gave them to us. That's what he was trying to say to John the Baptist. Come on, people, go tell John this, he's saying. Come on, people, didn't you see that guy doing all kinds of stuff? Didn't he understand the miracles? Didn't he see the miracles? That's who he really is. He might be asking some questions, but I'm going to tell you who he is. I'm going to lift him up because he lifted me up. Oh, and tonight we've been lifting up the name of the Lord. And so when we have something that's in front of us that tends to want to threaten the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of family, the sanctity of go forth and reproduce and multiply in my name the way I have ordained things, traditional values, religious freedoms. There's an equality act that has much evil attached. Maybe the whole thing, I've not read it, but it certainly will give the enemy a right to just smash any recognition of what the Lord says is holy, what the Lord states in our word, our holy word, and we want to stop it. We don't believe that there's a lack of gender identity coming from heaven, but that's what the enemy pushes, or sexual orientation. But we don't want to undermine the family or the concept of gender or make it impossible for you in your businesses or organizations to be able to make a distinction between men and women. How sick is that? It's sick because it's not Jesus. And so people who are behind that are sick. They have sick minds. And so we don't like that. We like people, but we don't like the enemy at all. So that means that we need to do something. We don't step back and do nothing. We don't do that. So we're going to pray tonight. We're going to hand out what you can look at here to be able to pray effectively, because we are those who have such a passion for the Spirit of the living God in us, upon us, and on this nation, that we will take the kingdom by force. Power. Our passion will be laced with the power of heaven. Amen? And you know, when we stand for Jesus that way, and he says, go heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Cleanse the lepers, guys. Come on. He's saying, my power will flow through you as my love overtakes you. And you see that when you take a stand against anything that defies love, defies Jesus, that defies love, that my power will be released, and then and there will be my kingdom. Does that make sense to us? So Father, tonight I'm going to invite Andy up to pray. Just had a little highlight of you, Andy, right at this moment. I know we're ending the 2 hours. It's 9 o'clock, I believe. And so I invite Andy to come up here and pray also as we wind into what God wants to do to finish us in this time, bound by our times right now. But we were challenged mightily on Sunday as well to not be bound by what we think is our own little world and schedule, but just say yes, even when things don't make sense, that we don't have everything itemized, that those papers can actually blow off the desk by the wind of the Spirit. It's what he did on Sunday. Love that he took over always, always. So Father, we just lift up your holy name your name as we transition tonight into going to go and preach the good news, to go and preach the gospel, to go and make your name known, make you, the famous one, known all over the earth, and not stop and be wrapped up in our own stuff, but invite you into every part of our lives where we lay down, we deny ourselves, we take up our cross, and we follow you. And we say that the only life that we want is your life inside, as we heard this past week and tonight as